Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Coffee and the Christ.
Hello!
What was that? That was great.
I don't know.
I like that.
Hello! I was trying to sound like the, what movie is that?
I'm right
the
there.
Monkey, you know, or the lemur, or whatever he was.
I'm right there with you.
It's King Julian.
Oh, is it Madagascar?
Is that it?
Are you calling Madagascar?
Maybe.
Hello.
Oh, I can't. No? Let me look it up. You keep talking. I'll find what I'm trying to mimic.
I know what you're talking about, though. I didn't know if it was a monkey or not.
I don't know what he is.
He's a lemur.
That's why that is a monkey.
Yeah, it is a monkey.
Is a lemur in the monkey family?
Yeah, it is. It's a primate.
Monkey business.
I just can't remember. Yeah, find the clip.
Julian.
Clip it.
Madagascar.
And then put like, hello.
Hello.
Hello, New York Giants. New York Giants. That's from First Madagascar.
Is it the matchmaker scene?
I'm not sure. Oh my goodness. I cannot imagine how that sounds.
Cover your ears.
I wonder.
It's the perfect spot for my seventh balance.
Oh, this is the third one? No, the second one. Yeah, the second one.
To Africa.
Yeah, well, they're in Africa. Yeah. Because of spots. Right.
If that's my name. I would love to become a professional whistler.
Well,
I'm pretty good at it now, but I'd like to make a living out of it.
Hmm.
I'm gonna keep looking. That's all the scene that I'm looking for. So keep talking, entertain the people, Jackson.
All right. Well, we're glad you tuned in for another episode of Coffee and Christ. Last week, Dylan was under the weather. But he's fine now. You know. I was also under the weather last week. Just. Yeah, you might.
I don't know, but you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, if someone finds it, you know, just...
King Julian, when he's like, hello! That's the only part that I know, though.
I'm thinking of, like...
I'm not a movie buff.
The Honeymooners, like, 50s TV show. And, like, Ed Norton says, hello!
Oh, my bad. I'm not a big movie buff or TV buff or really anything current. I'm out. I don't know.
I'm out. I'm tapping out. Well,
I'm a big fan of The Middle, though.
There you go. When did that air?
The first episode of The Middle. When did the first episode of The Middle air? Wow. 2009. Rick was just a wee lad. Now I'm in season 8 and he's about to graduate high school. He's getting older. You would only understand that if you watched The Middle.
I was like, I don't really.
I've been a faithful Middle watcher, man, since I lived in the cabin, which has been like months.
I mean, you've been in your house for what, 6-7 months?
I don't know.
It's just a blur. We don't know. It's just a blur.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
The Middle. Anyway, what's been, besides you being sick, what's been going on in your life?
Man, it took up so much of my week last week. I don't know what I had, but I was just tired. And I went and, like, I missed my haircut. So then I texted the girl who cuts my hair, and she's sick this week. So I was like, I'm just going to turn into Bigfoot, I guess. Just get all.
Dramatic.
Get all. You the one to talk.
Really?
You right now. You like let it grow like an inch over and you're like, I need to cut my hair.
Yeah, but you have to understand, you have other features going for you. The only thing I have going for me physically is my hair. That's it.
Stop.
So I have to keep it tight.
Keep it tight.
Keep it tight.
Keep it clean.
So anyway, besides that, what else has been going on?
I mean, really, that's it. I went and on Sunday, fed my pet deer. They're not my pet deer, but I'm... you can insinuate what I'm saying there. Went and fed them, put up some cameras so I can, you know, look at them, I guess, later. Hold on, just want to take some pictures. Like, just, you know, look at them, I guess. This weekend coming up, me and Dylan and Ty.
It's me.
Yep, Dylan. That I don't.
I'm just making sure everybody knew.
Nobody thought I was hanging with another Dylan. But me, Dylan, and Ty are gonna go do some. I don't know. I don't want to call it like. I don't know. It's just a little. It's a little get together, like a little party thing.
Don't let them fool you. It's Jackson's birthday weekend extravaganza 2024.
Right.
That's what it's called.
That I think it's in writing. So
Jackson's birthday extravaganza 2024.
Yeah, so we're going to go, I don't know, we're going to have a little bonfire, a little...
Well, it's supposed to rain 5 inches, so...
I know, I did see that. Anywho, we're crashing at Ty's house. I'm sure Alex loves that. I'm sure she can't wait.
I see Andrew's going to Memphis, so like, it's just going to be the three just... of us and Alex.
Woo! Man. Man, if Andrew was there, then like Alex could like stay at your house or something like that with Andrea, but...
That'll be a menace, I can't wait.
But yeah, that's probably the most exciting thing coming up is definitely just the birthday extravaganza. Who knows what will happen, but, yeah, Dylan, what about you?
Life's been a little crazy.
Hmm.
I guess would be the best way to describe it.
Hmm.
We go to Mexico in approximately 45 days.
Yeah, yeah, it's like 2 months.
Dad counted it down today. So we go to Mexico in 45 days.
Oh, wow, he's excited.
Freaking out because we're going to be in California the day after Election Day. So he's like stressed about it. I'm like, who cares? But, so my travel schedule is booked because I go to Miami the week, about 2 weeks before Mexico, I think.
Right.
I will be in the Dominican, which is actually rapidly approaching, and I did not realize that until right now, but I'll be in the Dominican in like 3 weeks.
you're like,
okay, well, I don't have any money. But, so that, and then we're back for a couple weeks, and then we fly to Mexico, me, Jackson, and my papa, and then I'll be back for 4 days. And I fly to New York for the weekend, courtesy of Jackson.
Boop.
So we're going to go watch Hamilton.
A little Christmas early.
Do some other fun things. And yeah, it'll be fun. So that's it. Work's been absolutely, I think I might pull what little hair I have out.
But it's so great, isn't it?
Sure.
Like, it's so great, like,
great.
Feeling like, I guess maybe not as, like, management, but, like, for the past 2 days, I haven't sat down from, like, I don't eat lunch till, like, 2 o'clock, because, like, I'm just running around the whole time, and I love it. I think it's great.
Have you ever seen the SpongeBob episode to where everything's on fire?
And yes.
And they're going, what's the name? What's the name?
Yes.
That's my head right now. Like, I had to call a customer today, whom I've talked to twice, and set up this appointment twice, and I didn't write it down what time, so I had to call her and tell her that I was on the struggle bus. The little words out of my mouth was, ma'am, I'm on the struggle bus and I don't know what time I'm supposed to meet you tomorrow, so I need you to tell me. And she laughed at me and she said 2 o'clock, and I'm like, golden. It wasn't golden because I've double booked myself for 2 hours. So if anybody knows how to be in two places at once, let me know.
Hit me up.
But yeah, I mean, it's great. It's great. And hey, the weekend's coming up.
That's right.
And we're, Jackson, tell them what we're going to do. It's new to all of us, and I don't know what
should we say, though, on air?
Okay, they're going to think we're doing something bad now.
Well, it's not bad, but
we don't have to
Nashville, I mean, we're already here.
We don't have to say it if you don't
want to. Well, we're already here. Nashville.
I'm sorry, I feel bad.
No, it's because we're in Tennessee. Appropriate. We're going to a place where you can make your own pew-pews.
That's good. We don't want to get canceled
yeah.
on the internet. So we're going to Build-A-Bear.
There you go.
But we're not building the a bear.
Bear. And that's all we're going to say.
In there discussion.
Go. There you go.
Iniquity.
Iniquity.
I'll let you kick us off, buddy.
Well, the bad words are almost over. That's the... And
watch your mouth. Watch your mouth.
Watch your mouth.
She just wouldn't catch. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, I'll tell this real quick while Jackson gathers his thoughts. So, I struggle with things.
As do everyone.
As everyone does. And when I... When the devil... When he throws a good pitch...
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to swing at it. Like mm-hmm. I really want to knock it out of the park.
Yeah.
You know? Bad analogy, but... I want to knock that sin right out of the park. And I sing a little song. I get out my air guitar. When I'm driving, my hands come off the wheel. Jesus takes it because he knows what I'm doing.
It's all right. He understands.
And I get my little guitar out and my little air guitar and I sing a little song. Like when someone pulls out in front of me and I want to be like, I just start playing my song. Jesus wouldn't yell at this person. Dee, 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 dee. He loves them, even though right now I don't. Dun, dun, dun. You know, I sing a song. I try to get it to rhyme. And then by the time I get done, I'm laughing and I forget about, you know, the pitch.
So anyway, I think it's pretty good.
And that's been my new thing. I've been doing it for like 2 weeks because Reverend Tim Tom does it on the middle.
And there you go. There's the middle again.
All right.
I think that's pretty appropriate, though. Like, it's a like it's definitely a, whatever distracts you from, like, not, like, fully going in. You're just like, ding, 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 ding.
Like some people, like, pinch themselves or, like, get a little rubber band. Like,
right, like, yeah.
I sing a song.
I think
try
that's,
to make it rhyme. I try to make fun with it.
I think it's so much
I'm
better.
Beatbox.
You're not
just
gonna,
kidding.
I was like, you're not going to do it, are you?
I might have if I wanted to.
Oh, I would anyway. Fully supported it.
But yeah, that's my new thing right now. Some may call it autism. I just call it a good time.
Okay. Anywho, iniquity. This week, it's the end of our little bad word series that we have going on where we've talked about sin and transgression and iniquity. And next week, it's, you know, gets to more of the those positive words that we see all the time in the Bible. And that's kind of like the... The theme throughout the rest of it stays kind of pretty high on the I don't even know what this positivity scale or something like that where you're not gonna be like oh iniquity ew or sin but it's like grace and love and faithful love there's like two separate ones so you know it's gonna be good so but we're gonna power through this one and learn about iniquity together. But first, I just always want to restate the purpose and restate kind of the goal behind it is this series is about us uncovering these ancient words because, like, remember, every time we're in the Bible, you open up whatever it is, Old Testament, New Testament, it's like you're getting on a plane and traveling to that country. And that country, you're not going to, like, travel to Paris and then, you know, walk the streets of Paris and you just expect everyone to know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's, we're having this kind of cultural awareness that when we go over there, it's a completely different language. Yes, it's been translated to Greek and then Greek to what we speak in America, English. And sometimes in those translations, things can get a little bit skewed, and sometimes and it's not like it's taking away or adding to, or I mean, it's not taking away. I'll say that if you read the English Bible, you know, and never dive in any more, then you're not losing. I don't know, you're not losing anything really, okay? But I do think. And again, the purpose of this, by diving deeper, it can add a layer of understanding. It can add a layer of kind of knowledge and wisdom. So maybe that's what you're losing. There you go. Haha. I'll let you I'll let you decide that for yourself. If you, you know, decide to go past our little series here and kind of do some digging of your own. And I encourage you to, like, don't just listen to whatever me and Dylan say about iniquity today, but go and kind of study it for yourself. And a great tool to do that, just to, you know, plug it, is the Bible Hub. It's it kind of, you can go into the lexicon area and you can literally go through all the languages, the occurrences. It can get very deep and very technical very quickly. So just be careful when you do that and don't get lost in the sauce or something like that. They also make a hard copy book if you want it. I would love that book just to have it, but it's a pretty thick book. It's a big book. So you have us instead. So you don't have to buy those, or the Bible Hub is free, but you don't have to do that. You know, we'll talk about it here. So iniquity, you know, in Hebrew, it's the word avon or avon, A-V-O-N. And typically in the Bible, the most common occurrence or common translation is of the word avon, that is the word iniquity. However, that's just one of the ways. There's other ways it's used. It's avon is also described as wickedness or guilt or even sometimes sin. So, you know, we talked about sin, kata, but now it is been used in that sense as well. The word also is related to the verb ava, which means to be bent or crooked. And that image kind of helps a little bit of what this word kind of is telling to us. Because if you think about it, you know, the image of being crooked, you know, you snap in a pencil or something like that, but you don't fully break it, or you get the point. It's used many times, this image of crookedness, as a metaphor. In the scripture, you know, in the book Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 17, Israel has ahavad their way by violating the covenant with God. And it says in the ESV, because, this being Israel, they have perverted, interesting enough, it says in ESV, perverted their way, or in some translation, crooked, or made crooked their way, and they have forgotten the Lord. You know, they did this by giving their allegiance to idols instead of God. Another one is in the book of Job, chapter 33, verse 27. In this case, it's about a person who morally fails, is someone who ahavaz, what is right. So in chapter 33, verse 27, it says, he sings before men and says, I sin and perverted. That's interesting. It's perverted twice here. But the Hebrew word is ahavad, what was right, and it was not repaid to me. And so in both cases, something that is supposed to be level or even, like, you know, your choices that you make and stuff like that, we're supposed to make like level choices. They're bent out of shape. They're crooked. They're avad, you know, and getting back to like the noun version, avon in the Bible, it refers to, you know, all kinds of crookedness. Like think of Ten Commandment type stuff, you know, like lying and murdering and adultery and covetousness, stuff like that. But also specifically refers to like the crooked situations or consequences that we find ourselves in, you know, think about like the suffering of a person or maybe a shattered relationship or maybe like these cycles of retaliation that come from behavior. You know, if I do something wrong to Dylan and then Dylan retaliates, that would be avon, where, you know, crooked, that's the situation we're in. And, you know, a lot of times too, is like when we're abused and taken advantage of, we're experiencing avon, iniquity, you know, that sin. And so you find this idea in the Bible a lot, and it's kind of with the phrase to punish, which in biblical Hebrew is to visit someone's avon upon them, which means to let them kind of like sit in their consequences or of their choices, of their crooked choices. You know, if I do something wrong at work, you know, sometimes, or I won't say work, I'll say maybe just life in general. Like, you know, I'm young. I still live with my parents. If I make a bad decision where, I don't know, you let your sanctified imagination run wild there. if I do something wrong, you know, I'll use this as an example. My dad told me if I ever went to jail, I was going to spend the night there. Because it's kind of like this phrase here, to punish. It's not like he doesn't love me or anything like that, but he's letting me sit in my own consequences because of the crooked choices I made. You get the point? Like, that's the kind of the word here. And, you know, some examples of this is, again, in Jeremiah, we were there to start this off. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 12. This is what the prophet Jeremiah said about the Babylonians who were destroying other nations. And he said to them, like, one day, those nations would destroy them in return. And so Babylon's divine punishment would be having to live in this disconfigured world that they created by just wiping out all these people and, you know, placing them under their boot. It says in verse 12, then after 70 years, in that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, declares the Lord, making the land an everlasting waste. So, you know, this is actually kind of the main way biblical authors talk about God's response to human of own, by letting people experience the crooked consequences of their crooked choices. You know, this is the meaning of the common biblical phrase, you've probably heard of it, is like, bear your iniquity. You know, God gives people the dignity, I guess, of carrying the consequences of their bad decision. You know, but that isn't the only way that God responds to Avon in the Bible. You know, you think of many times where Paul writes, you know, these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not that God doesn't love them and doesn't want them to be with them in heaven. He's just letting them sit in their own crooked choices. He's letting them bear their iniquity. They've, you know, these people who are not going to inherit the kingdom of God might fall under that category, have spent their whole life not wanting to be with God. You know, now God's just honoring their decision. That day will, you know, be day of judgment. But that's not just the only way that God responds. There, you know, there's good to this. You know, it's been kind of negative the whole time, but there's good. You know, God also offers to carry the avon of corrupt people as an act of sheer generosity. You know, in fact, carrying avon is the most common Hebrew phrase for God's forgiveness. And you can read it in Psalms 32. I had it marked, but then I moved my pen. So, excuse me. Psalms 32, verse 5. The poet says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my avon. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you carried the avon of my sin. You know, this is actually shocking if you think about it. You know, God forgives people by taking responsibility for their avon, for their iniquity. And this idea, it reaches the high point in Isaiah 53. Most of y'all hear the word of it, Isaiah 53, and you think of the servant. You know, the idea reaches that at that point when you get introduced to this figure called the servant, which at this point, Isaiah has no idea who that is. We're privileged to know that's Jesus Christ. And now, and this servant will embody God's forgiving love by carrying the avon. And this is verses 11 through 12, where it says, out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressions. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. You know, this servant embodies God's forgiving love by carrying the avon and of many and allowing it to crush him, allowing it to kill him. And this servant is going to absorb all of humanity's crookedness, letting it overwhelm him, letting it destroy him. But we know that's not the end of the story, is it? The servant will merge out of the other side of death alive, and will, so he can offer life to others. Now, when you get to the New Testament, this word goes from avon to anomia. And the apostles use this many times as well. You know, they carry this idea forward using that word, which has a similar meaning. But like Paul, the apostle, he identified the servant as Jesus Christ. And he said in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says, who this being, you know, actually it needs to start in 13, God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. You know, the appearing of God and our Savior Jesus Christ gave himself to redeem us all. And in the ESV, it says lawlessness, but the word there is anomia. You know, he came to redeem us from all of our crooked behaviors and consequences. And, you know, so that's the whole biblical story. You know, it's about God's design to take crooked people like myself and y'all listening and the twisted world that we constantly make decisions in and make it more twisted or crooked, and takes it all. And through Jesus, invites us to become, you know, a whole new group of humans, you know, walking upright with God as he's carrying our anomia or avon. And so that's what I got for the word iniquity, or in Hebrew, avon.
Well, I was thinking about it too. And Jackson talks about, you know, crooked people and crooked paths and all these things. And iniquity, you know, really it means distorting what is good, right? Distorting purposely what is good.
Yeah.
And one thing that I was thinking about is, and I've always been this way, just to be honest with you, so I'm not even ashamed, but like going to a tree stand.
Oh.
Dark, in the dark. Like the morning before daylight, walking, even like if my dad drops me off, and I just had to walk like 100 yards.
Yeah.
You know, and I hear the side-by-side as he's going to his stand, and it gets quieter and quieter, and then it's gone. And you're out here, and you're just like, everything is trying to kill me right now. That's what I think of. I'm out in the middle of the dark, and I'm just like...
I think that's pretty accurate.
I'm going to die right now. There's people looking at me.
I think that's accurate, yeah.
Even at night, like, I'll look around, and like, I'll see like a branch, and I'm like, that's a person.
Yeah.
That's something. That's a clown, or that's, you know, it's scary.
Yeah.
Because you can't see anything.
I used to walk around before I had a handgun. Mm-hmm. I'd walk around with a knife and I'd hold it like with a knife tip down, and I would like literally walk like this. So like if something came off, I would just.
What if it was an old lady like in Jackson? Nah.
Well, old lady, what?
No, grandma, what are you doing out here?
What are you doing in the woods?
But, you know, you go to a tree stand before dark or before daylight, and it's scary.
Yeah.
Like, you think you're on, like, this crooked path with all these wicked things, and you crawl up in the tree stand, or you're blind, or whatever you're doing. And then day breaks, and you look, and you walked, like, 30 feet, and everything was fine.
Yeah.
But before, it was scary, it was terrible, it was awful. So, what I'm trying to say is, we distort the things that are good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that it's wrong that I'm scared because I can't see. But what I'm saying is, things that God created that were good, that were amazing, we, whether it's purposely or with good intentions, we diminish their beauty. We ruin them.
Yeah.
Right? One of my favorite places to be, no joke, and I don't hunt a lot anymore just because, to be honest, I don't get to sleep in a lot, so... I just hate to get up that early on a Saturday. But the woods in the morning when everything is waking up is one of my favorite things in the world. Like the fog is like burning off, and like you hear the birds start to sing, and you hear stuff rustling around, and I love that.
Yeah.
Like top 10 favorite things. Also top 10 scariest things, the woods anytime before the sun comes up. You know, it's like it's the same situation. But I'm looking at it from two different ways.
Yeah.
Right? So, iniquity distorts what is good. And it could be unintentional. Like, you could, with the best intentions, be doing something, and you're doing it wrong. we unintentionally do bent and crooked things.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about is intentionally.
Mm.
Like when you purposely distort, that's sin. When you purposely do something devious and distort something that could be good and you know better.
Yeah.
That's iniquity. And, you know, you think about it like if you're in the Walmart parking lot, right?
And scary place to be.
It is. I only do pickup. But you're in the Walmart parking lot and somebody runs out in front of you and you run them over.
Oh.
Okay. And it was totally an accident. It was their fault. They ran out in front of you. There was nothing that you could do. You never saw them. Whatever. No one's going to describe you as a monster, as somebody that needs to be locked up. I mean, if they're doing the story right, you know, hey, this was, you know, pedestrian versus the vehicle. The driver is not at fault. They ran out in front of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody's describing me as a terrible human being. It was an accident.
Right.
God understands those things. That's where grace comes into play. Right? But if I'm speeding through the Walmart parking lot with the intention of running over an old lady and she dies, then I will be described as a monster, somebody that needs to be locked up, because I purposely distorted something and made it my mission to do something bad.
Yeah.
That's what we do. And I think a lot of times, I'm going to say this, and I hope I'm right, but I think a lot of times people of the world are doing the wrong thing. They're being crooked and their ways are dark. And I honestly think that they don't think much about it. Like, yes, there's a lot of bad things going on in the world, but you know what? The world's always been bad. I mean, I can't stand when someone's like, that's just the times are just, we're in the end of times. You don't know that. And I'm not going to get on this rant.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone comes up to me and it's like, read Revelation, we're in the end of times. Stop.
Yeah.
You don't know that. You don't. The world's so bad. Guess what? It's always been bad.
I was like, it's always like been bad. Like, it's
literally, and everybody's worried about the presidential election. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. Whatever happens is going to happen, and it is what it is. Because I think most people have the intention of doing good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most people are out there trying to earn an honest living, provide for their family, be decent human beings.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying everybody. I have met some people that are just, they wake up with deviousness in mind.
Yeah.
Okay, but for the vast majority, I would say most people are trying to do good. With the best intentions, they're unintentionally doing bad things. And God understands that. I just want us to understand that iniquity is a problem because we're distorting what God made amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so many things we could talk about that we do as human beings that it's just terrible. Because we've taken things too far, because we've purposely, you know, put them on another level, and it shouldn't be that way. You know, we've done it with relationships, we've done it with people, we've done it with situations. And I'm talking about as a whole, not as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
But we put these stigmas on things, and I feel like there's sometimes God's looking at us and saying, that is not what I meant. Like, have you ever had to have a conversation with somebody that is like 100% self-serving and self-centered, and you're trying to explain something to them, and then you just shake your head and say, that is not at all what I meant?
Yeah.
Like, they have just taken this and blown it out of proportion. I've seen so many people that just take things too far.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything. Like, you say something and, like, you know, boom, you're a Calvinist. Or, boom, you're a, no, that's not what I meant. It's distorting what's good.
Yeah.
And that's just an example. But, I mean, we do it with everything. We do it with situations and people and places and destinations and all these things. And God, I feel like, just sometimes just goes, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why did you look at it like that? The same way that I'm in the woods and I'm like, this is so scary. And then 30 minutes later, this is so pretty.
Yeah.
This is amazing. I think God's looking at me in the woods and going, you're still in that beautiful place.
Yeah.
You're just going at it wrong. You're doing it wrong. You're looking at it wrong. And 30 minutes later, I'm like, you're right. It is nice. So I don't have a lot to say. That's kind of where I'll end. But we do things so much that God just looks at, or I feel like God is shaking his head and going, you missed the point. You're not doing this the right way. You completely blew this out of proportion.
Yeah.
And that's what iniquity is. It's taking something and distorting it and making it crooked on purpose.
Yeah.
And that's not right. We know better. As Christians, we know better.
Mm-hmm.
But do we do better?
Yeah. It's definitely a, like a, like this is a good, like, oh, what's the word? Like, this is your faith that you have to, like, grab by the horns. You just can't, like, run with a people group here and just kind of, like, blend in with the crowd. Like, this is a, you got to make the decision on your own. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. It makes sense in my head, but.
Here's the reality. Like, you can't blend in with the crowd. Like, you're either in or you're out. And if you're fake, you're going to be found out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean that to be, like, cruel or mean. But if you're intentionally being devious, if you're intentionally distorting what is good as a Christian, you're not going to last that long because you're going to be found out.
Yeah. I guess the word I was thinking of was, like, take responsibility.
Right.
Like, this is, like, even if you, like, I try to live in the constant state that I'm wrong. And not that, you know, that's, like, wrong, but, like, the constant state that my opinion's wrong right now. And until I prove it by reading the Bible and trying to, and, like, this isn't, like, a fixation. Like, if I think I'm wrong, I'm not, like searching the Bible, like, the entire time and taking something out of context. But, like, constantly, like, if someone says something in class, I'm not immediately, like, well, that was stupid. Why did you say that? Why did you even think that? I'm constantly thinking, well, maybe my judgment or maybe my knowledge on that is wrong. And I need to go back and study it and figure out what the right thing is or come up with my own conclusion. And just, like, take responsibility for, if you think you know what's right, you have to read the Bible. You have to make sure that your thinking is crooked. That kind of unintentional. You might think it's right, but it could be crooked. And I'm not the one to tell you it's crooked, but, like, you know, it could be. And I think living in that state of maybe I'm wrong on everything, it hasn't really affected me negatively yet, but, like, every time someone gets up in front of the congregation and says something, I'm always like, you know, I'm not, I try not to be like, oh, well, they're wrong, you know, and now I have a bad opinion about them.
Mm-hmm.
No, now I need to reevaluate. There you go. Reevaluate yourself. Make sure that whenever you are making your decisions and stuff like that, are they crooked? And even if you don't think they are, could they be? Like, living in that state of, I need to constantly reevaluate myself because I'm representing something so much more to my friends, to my peers, to the random person I see on the streets. You know, I'm not just representing Jackson. I am representing Jesus Christ.
Well, and I think sin and iniquity and all these things, it comes out, it starts or begins with an urge to look out for me, myself, and I.
Yeah.
When we are only looking out for ourselves, we're ignoring our human purpose. And our human purpose is to care for other people, to serve other people, and to love other people. That's, as a Christian, that's what you do.
Yeah.
You know, but when we're focused on us and we forget about that, then when we diminish other people in order to build ourselves up, then we become crooked.
Yeah.
That's how simple it is. When you become self-serving, when you're trying to elevate yourself and push somebody else down, you're crooked.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that simple. I mean, and that's what Jackson was trying to say is, I'm living in a state to where I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily live, and that works for him, that's great. The way I do it is, I may not be wrong, but if I formulate an opinion or I am doing something in a certain situation, the moment that I do find out that I'm wrong, or the moment that I realize I'm wrong, then I immediately apologize.
Yeah.
Like, immediately, I'm going to own it. Because I'm like, okay, I was wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. And it's so quick.
Because the moment, I'm telling you, the moment that you become self-serving, you're crooked.
Yeah. And I hope you don't, like, y'all don't be like, oh, well, they don't speak from experience. I mean, I'll be honest. I'm hypocritical right now. You know, I talked bad about somebody today. Is that self-serving? Yes. Am I, like, edifying them? Am I being loving in any way or caring or, you know, no. And so, like, that's how easy it is that, like, we come on here and we talk about these things, and then we struggle with them the same exact way. Oh, like, and so
I was in Knoxville today. I don't even want to say this because it's really bad, but I'll say it. I'm transparent.
Yeah.
I was in Knoxville today at a Waggles. I was immediately infuriated because the parking lot was way too small and there were so many cars.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I said, why is the parking lot not larger than this? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, then put my truck in reverse, and there's a car behind me. And I'm like, move. Like, you need to move on. Like, I was sitting there getting angry. Like, 20 seconds go by. I'm like, my reverse lights are on. You're in the right of way. Move.
Yeah.
Her car was broke down. A tow truck was backing in. And I was sitting there, and I was like, this lady's a monster. Like, I was having, like, an angry attack.
That's kind of funny.
And I was with somebody, and he said, look. I turned around, and I went... He goes, I can't even be around you right now. And I went, I literally said, I'm a monster. And he's like, no, you're not. I said, I literally am a monster.
Yeah.
And like, you say it about yourself.
Yeah.
It's okay, because guess what? You probably are.
I was like, and you're evaluating.
I'm not being mean. I'm speaking from my heart.
Yeah.
Just say it, because there are times that you are a monster.
Yeah. And you're like, and I think that's good, because you're like evaluating yourself, and yeah, that constant, like when you sing your songs, instead of like go in and just like nail into your desire to say that, you're just like, Jesus wouldn't say that about that person.
Ding, ding, ding. Offer her a hand and try to fix her Volkswagen. Hey,
there you go. See,
I was just like, this lady is like, I was, because I had to wait for 5 minutes, I was literally coming unglued in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, yeah. She literally can't move. So anyway, yeah, we'll stop rambling. But
yeah, it's hard. It definitely is. Though,
whenever, because it's so easy to get caught up in this, and I'm telling you, from experience, the best way to overcome it is to realize that you're doing it.
Yeah.
And just and say, you know what? I'm a monster. I got to stop.
Yeah.
I got to be better.
Yeah.
So.
For sure. It's hard. May God have mercy and on all of us and give us wisdom as we,
amen,
as we chart through this life. It's definitely hard, but we're here for you. Next week is going to be about grace, so it's perfect. It's perfect little like fourth batter hitter here. Like, he's going to knock it out of the park kind of deal. So can't wait to hear y'all hear from us. but we'll see y'all soon. So we love you. Jesus loves you.
Have a great week. Be safe. Goodbye.